Praise. Appreciate the warning and the exhortation. Amen. Well noted. 1 Thessalonians, don't you love chapter 5, those pithy statements at the end? Amen. Those pithy statements. Yes, sir. They speak to my heart. And we're going to look at three of them, Lord willing, that are, I believe, a triplet. Okay? I believe they're together, verses 16 through 18. Paul said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the instruction from your word that's already gone forth. We thank you for the word of God that so feeds us, corrects us, directs us, blesses, refreshes, encourages us. And we pray now for divine help. We're nothing in and of ourselves. And Lord, we pray that you might speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in this passage, I'm going to jump down to verse 18 to start with. I do everything kind of backwards. But in verse 18, Paul is talking about the will of God. All right. I'm interested in the will of God. Brother Donnie, I got all kinds of books. I just kind of collect them on the will of God. Don't read them. I just collect them. You know? Yeah. I'm always interested in what people believe about how to know the will of God. And I love it whenever I get something simple, something real basic. Yeah. This threefold exhortation, he said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I love simple, clear instructions. I remember when my kids were coming up trying to put together a bicycle or something, you know. Man, if it's got more than two steps, I can't handle it. I just want to throw everything down. But Christmas Eve, you got to get her done. All right. Well, anyway, this is the will of God. This is overall, general, clear instructions for my life. The will of God. All right. and if I'll heed these, if I'll do the will of God I know to do, God will reveal to me the will of God that I don't know. Okay. About the specifics along the way. If I just do what he's told me to do for his children, it'll open the door up for him to give me the specifics that I need along the way. Well, I love what somebody said. You probably said it too, that if you're not doing the will of God you know to do, don't expect God to reveal to you the will of God that you don't know to do. All right? Well, this threefold exhortation is like Micah 6 and verse 8. I remember years ago starting out as a new believer, and it just seemed like everything so confusion, and it, you know, you're trying to do everything right, and I read Micah 6 and verse 8. Somebody pointed it to me. What doth the Lord thy Lord require of thee but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? And it was kind of like a big load got lifted off. Oh, do right. Amen. Do justly. Do right. Do right. Bob Jones said, till the stars fall. Amen. Do right. Do justly. Love mercy. Amen. Be merciful and compassionate to others. And walk humbly with thy God. Amen. And everything in the Christian life fits right there. Everything in my walk with God fits right there. Rejoice evermore, Paul said. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're in Christ, this will fit with you. Amen. This is for believers in him. This trinity of triumph kind of, it makes good sense in Christ for believers. Concerning you, personalize it. Amen. Rejoice evermore. You! Rejoice evermore. You, amen. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Well, I love that. Rejoice evermore. I love it all. Amen. Rejoice evermore. What did Paul say? He knew he was writing to Baptists at Philippi when he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, for you Baptists, I say rejoice. Amen. This is of paramount importance to the life of a child of God. And you notice this is the very first one that he lists in this exhortation of triplets here. It is so important. Rejoice evermore. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Don't take that from me. I was raised in a church where they wore robes and lit candles, all right? Nobody ever told anybody there was anything to rejoice about, number one, and number two, nobody did. Amen. And I learned as a kid, the only happy time was when the last postlude came and the last amen, you know. Then people smiled. Then there was something to smile about. You get out the doors, okay? Take care of your nicotine fit, okay? Well, I'm talking about this thing of joy in the Lord. I got a free pass. Hallelujah. Amen. I do. I got a pass to praise God. I got good sense when not to out loud, you know. You can blow a gasket, amen, but sometimes, you know, when you can't, but you want to. Rejoice evermore, he said. I got to give you this. Look at Habakkuk, if you will. Habakkuk. There in Habakkuk, you know where I'm going, chapter 3. He said it this way, although in verse 17 of chapter 3, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Sometimes my fig tree doesn't blossom. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. What am I going to eat? The labor of the olive shall fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. He just described a worst case scenario. Amen. But he said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. It needs to be sung by the chief singer. Amen. One of my favorite verses on this subject, well, just about in the Bible, is Psalm 5 and verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee, I love that word let, you got a permission slip. Amen. You got a green light from God, all right? Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Amen. He said, we can. It's okay. Amen. I remember, Pastor, you took me back several years ago with what you and your family just gone through. And I remember preaching my daughter's funeral, and she was 2 and a half, and the Lord took her. And I mean, God, oh, what God was doing for my wife. How do you tell it? You can't tell it. You can't tell it. But I made the mistake of putting myself down as one of the preachers at the funeral. And I just finally told him, I said, if you think I'm acting funny, he said, it's your fault. You've been praying for me. Amen. Amen. I want you to know his grace is sufficient. And everything I'd been preaching about it up to that time, you know, I hadn't gone through anything real major. But everything I'd preached about it, I found out is exactly like I'd been preaching. My wife will tell you, I love it when I'm right. Amen. Yes, sir. Rejoice evermore, he said. He said, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. And then he said it again, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. We're not in the morgue, we're in the church, amen? Gathered with the church. And likewise in Psalm 70 and verse 4, I know there's a whole lot of this, but he said that let all those that seek thee rejoice. You seeking God? Rejoice. and be glad in thee. Let such love, such as love thy salvation. Anybody here love his salvation? Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Well, that's what Paul was talking about. Isaiah 61 and verse 10, this is where I got in. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. This particular truth dealing with salvation. And in verse 10 of 61, he said, I will greatly rejoice. I know what rejoicing is. I think I know what greatly rejoicing is. Amen. I will greatly rejoice. Why? In the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Amen. You get the picture. Well, likewise in 1 Peter. Alright. You know, whatever goes on in my life, I've always got the joy of my salvation. Amen. If I'm right with God. Alright. And I've always got reason to rejoice in the Lord. Well, not in circumstances necessarily, but in the Lord. Paul wrote to the saints there, Peter did in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You remember that? Amen. Unto a lively hope. Oh, something stirred up on the inside. Living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm going. Amen. And it's all, I got a reservation. Praise God. To you who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. He been reading Isaiah. Ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. I thank God trials are seasonal, but they're real. If need be, trials are necessary. Amen. Ye are in heaviness. Trials are heavy. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, where he talks about, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. So if it feels that way, you got it right. It seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, there's a crop coming in. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. God's good to keep us exercised. Amen. But Paul's writing to these saints, and he says, excuse me, Peter, I keep wanting to say Paul. But anyway, Peter is talking about these trials, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Testings, not temptations to evil necessarily, but just plain old trials. Amen. Sometimes little trials add up. Where you might be able to handle a big one, sometimes the little ones. The devil will throw everything at you he can, and God in his wisdom will let him. So we'll learn that his grace is sufficient, and he'll give us wisdom in trials. Have you ever found whenever you preach, you want to tell everybody everything you ever thought you ever knew? Amen. Well, in James chapter 1, where he's talking about needing wisdom, that same passage he's talking about trials, and you never need wisdom any more than you do when you're going through trials. That you handle it the right way. Amen. Amen. Handle those trials with wisdom. Peter said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Finally, after all, amen. Well, we're talking about rejoice evermore. Even when everything else falls apart, I probably skipped right over everything he said there in Habakkuk chapter 4. But I got to tell you, I was listening to. I assume he was a brother. He sure had some good things to say. He was of another ethnicity, and he was helping me. Amen. He was helping me. He got to talking about rejoicing in the Lord. And even in the midst of those trials when nothing seems to be going right, and you still rejoicing in the Lord, he said, just go ahead. Mess with the devil's mind. You mess with the devil's mind. He can't handle it. He doesn't know what to do with that. How do you handle that devil? Take that devil. And he said, and pray without ceasing. Let it be a continual present tense with you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that's that present tense continually. We're talking about continual fellowship. Now listen. I know there needs to be a season of time, ought to be in all of our lives, every day when we specifically get alone with the Lord. Amen? And that we pray and we seek His face and we read His Word and feed upon it. I get that. Oh boy, I so get that. But you know what I'm tempted to do and what I find myself doing sometimes, that I go out from there into the world or into experiences in life, and you know, I forget. He's still with me. I'm still walking with Him, and He still means it. And He still wants me to fellowship with Him. Amen. Not just when I was praying. He still wants me to fellowship with Him. You know, people may wonder why your lips are moving, but that's all right, amen. And you don't even have to move your lips; just get it up there, amen. Send those flare prayers sometimes. All right. Well, continuous fellowship, pray without ceasing. This is what I think He's talking about: continuous fellowship. Abiding in Christ. Amen. You go back to John 15 and you see that passage on abiding in Christ is connected with our prayer life. Amen. As well. It's our prayer life as well. And that's where the fruit comes. It's not just have a prayer life. It's have a life of prayer. Amen. Have a life of prayer. And I wrote that down. I thought that was so clever. And the Lord said, well, what about you, buddy? Yeah, He does. Amen. One of my mentors used to say, handling God's Word is like handling acid without gloves. Amen. You're trying to give it out and it's getting on you and burning you up at the same time. Amen. Well, I'm glad the Lord does that though. But we're talking about having a life of prayer. That is our privilege in Christ Jesus. That's what he was saying. In Christ Jesus. Continual looking Godward. Amen. As we go forward, looking Godward. I wrote this down, right or wrong. I think it's like this. Continual prayer, that pray without ceasing. Continual prayer is abiding in Christ. Ever looking to and leaning upon a reconciled God who is your Father. Amen. Yeah. Just going forward in Him. Yes, sir. And you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, where Paul was talking about the intercession of the Lord, he said, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot, get those two negatives. We don't have one that can't because we do have one that can. Amen. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, we got a man in heaven fully, amen. He's fully man as well as fully God. Amen. The glorified God man. All right. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly in the sense of the private is called in by the captain. And the private is standing at attention. At ease, private. Okay, he's at ease, but he's still not at ease. Amen. And the captain lets him know some things about some things, as they have a way of doing. And then then he said, "What have you got to say for yourself, private?" And have you ever heard it? They say, "Permission to speak freely, sir." Okay? Permission to speak. You say, "Permission granted." And then you just pour your heart out. Huh? Well, that word, that let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Permission granted. Amen. Permission granted. You got permission. Just unload. Amen. Lord, I can't believe what they said to me. Did you hear that? I mean, I can't believe this thing. And Lord, you know what I'm going through. Did you know I'm going through this, Lord? Amen. We're talking about just open up to Him. David talked about pour out your heart before the Lord. That's why sometimes you better get alone. Amen. But I'm talking about this is our privilege in Christ. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We've got access. Amen. In whom we have access. We have boldness and access with confidence. Amen. Well, he said, and in everything, give thanks. Everything?
Everything.
All right? In everything, give thanks. That's the opposite of unbelief. In everything, give thanks. No room for grumbling. Somehow I always try to elbow some room. Huh? No room for grumbling. No room for murmuring. No room for complaining. And before the one who saved us by His grace, no room for unbelief. Amen. We got His word. It's an inner attitude of gratitude. Not just lip service, but it's an inner attitude of gratitude. Not just a show of thankfulness, but an attitude of gratitude. Amen. You know what that says? That says that God is wise. In everything, give thanks. That says, God, you're wise. God, you're good. God, you're righteous. Whether I understand or not. God, you're loving. You are love. Amen. You're holy. You're trustworthy. You're worthy of my trust, my praise, my love, my obedience, my devotion, and my worship. Amen. That old English word for worship used to be worth-ship. Huh? It has to do with the worth that we ascribe to be toward our God and that our God is. That's what worship is. In everything, give thanks. Amen. You can come to worship and not worship. Or you can live in worship. That's what Paul's saying. In everything, give thanks. Boy, I tell you what, now I got to live this. But I mean it. Amen. Paul means it. The Word of God means it. This is what worship is. My life is to be a life of worship. Giving Him glory. Amen. And then watch Him perform. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Did you see those three absolutes? Evermore. Rejoice evermore. No room for rest down here. Rejoice evermore. No intermission, just rejoice evermore. And no room for rest in eternity. Amen. But I tell you a secret. You already know it. But you get in on it and you really don't want to stop. Amen. You don't want to stop. I was in a camp meeting years ago. I was in a camp meeting and I was wanting these two big preachers to get right with God, but God had them on docket and they were preaching. And I hate to stand in line. You didn't know this. Privileged information. I hate to stand in line to shake hands with big preachers. Well, anyway, God rang my bell. Brother, I did not want him to preach. I didn't want him to ring my bell. Ring somebody else's. Man, he grabbed my heart. I was broken. He showed me a little bit about me.
that he didn't like and that I better agree with him about. And you know what? The more I agreed with him, the more I confessed, the sweeter it got. It got so good, I just wanted to find some other things to confess. I was just confessing everything. Oh, God, I've been chewing bubble gum. Oh, you know, I'm for real. I'm for real. I mean, it got so sweet. All I wanted to do was say, oh God, I just wanted to praise him. And the service was over that night, and I just went up in the old prayer house, had a bootleg service. Amen. Yes, sir, just get along with God. Oh God, you're good. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Whatever trial, whatever reversal, whatever mystery. Tell me there's not so. Oh, there are. You're going to see some more before the day's out, probably. Amen. Here is where we triumph. It's in Christ Jesus that we rejoice evermore, that we pray without ceasing in everything we give thanks. You know, it hit me, Romans 8:28. We all know how to say it. Amen. For we know, say it with me, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. And I thank God for that verse. Amen. We may not get it, but it's working together for good. God's weaving something beautiful. You mark it down. But notice who it was that said that. It wasn't just a cute little saying for a cross stitch. And thank God for those on the wall. I'm saying it wasn't just a little saying. Amen. He really meant it. He had lived it. You read through the 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, see what the Apostle Paul tells. And he just tells about some of the surface things. And all the times he was beaten and shipwrecked and everything else in prison. And he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't have to go out confused. Amen. Amen. Preacher, I'm done. Amen.